Ty?
You can put it in your pocket also. That way you don't have to take it off.
You just go home with it. It's on?
It's on.
Tough. In pair of cuff tests. We learn about Yaakov and his wives. There's a story that I'd like to focus on. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Pasuk 16, says the Lalovon Shtei Bonos, Shema Gdola Leah v'Shema Ktana Rochel. Right? He had two daughters, Leah, the older one, and Rochel, the younger one. Vayehav, Pasuk 18, Vayehav Yaakov is Rochel, Vayome of the Choshever Shonim, Berochel Bitcha Ktano. He said, Yaakov said that he was willing to work for 7 years in order to achieve Rochel, to get Rochel as his wife. So Lavan said, I agree, it sounds good. And then there's this strange story. Lavan substitutes Leah for Rachel. Pasuk of Dalet, Vayitein Lavan Lord Zilpa Shivchaso LeLeah. So Leah got a servant woman, right? She also became kind of his wife. And then Yaakov wakes up and is very surprised. And then somehow Lavan says, well, you know, this was really the agreement, because if you want to marry Rachel, you have to marry Leah first. So when you said you're going to work for 7 years, obviously you're going to work for Leah. I'm not sure Yaakov agreed with all this, but he worked another 7 years, and then he was able to take Rachel also as his wife. And Lavan gave her a shifcha, a maidservant, whose name was Bilhah. Vayavro el Rochel. Now the story heats up here. Pasuk Lamed, right? Perek of Tes Pasuk Lamed. Vayavro gam el Rochel. Then he had relations with Rochel. Vayahav es gam es Rochel mi Leah. And he Yaakov loved Rochel more than he loved Leah. And this is the beginning of a story. Up to now it's still the background. Who's Rochel? Who's Leah? How did it turn out that he had two wives when he really only wanted one? Background, right? That's the background. All of a sudden, the story begins. And what is the story? That he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And then Pasuk Lamed Aleph. There's a story of the tensions between Rachel and Leah, or Leah and Rachel. Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, "Vayar Hashem ki snua Leya, vayiftach es rachma v'rochel akara." And Hashem saw that she is the hated one, that Leah is hated, so he opened her womb, and Rochel remained barren. Right? Rochel remained barren. It sounds like there's even tension between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yaakov. Yaakov loves Rachel and not Leah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, does something good on behalf of Leah, and by contrast, that good thing doesn't happen to Rachel. Vatar Leah vatelet ben. And Leah was pregnant and she had a son. Vatikroshma Ruven ki amraki ra'a Hashem ba'anyi ki ato yevani ishi. I want you to get involved here in the context of this shir in the etymologies, like how the etymologies work. But the Torah says she called him Ruven, right? Why? Ra'a Hashem ba'anyi, because God saw my poverty, how terrible I felt, right? How I was despised by my husband. And now, maybe he will love me. Yehavani ishi, meaning, I guess now the relationship perhaps will change. Now that Yaakov sees that I have brought him a son, perhaps he will be more welcoming to me, right? And the disparity between myself and Rachel will get smaller. Next pasuk, Lamed Gimel, v'tar oza tele ben, v'tome ki shama Hashem ki snuo anochi, v'yitei mi gam et ze, v'tikro shimo shim'on. So it sounds like Leah gets pregnant again and she has another son, but nothing has changed. Right? Nothing has changed. Yaakov, he says, ki shama Hashem ki snuo anochi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has heard that I am still despised. Snu'a anochi. Nothing has changed. So she had one son, Reuven, and a second son, Shimon. Vatar od vatele ben. Then she gets pregnant again, and she has another son. Ata pam yilavai ishi elai ki yoladiti lo shlosha banim ken kura shimo Levi. And so she says, I'm going to call him Levi, because Levi is livui, accompaniment. Perhaps now my husband will accompany me and treat me as I think he should. But apparently, after the three sons are born, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, the disparity or the attitude that Yaakov had to Rachel and Leah remained the same. He loved Rachel and not Leah, in spite of the fact that Leah had brought him three sons. And the assumption is that every husband, father, etc., wants to have sons. Certainly in this case, Yaakov Avinu, who was going to be the father of the Jewish people, the 12 tribes, certainly for him, having sons is something very, very significant. Then, Pasuk Lamed Hey, right, we get to it. Vatar od vatele ben. And here Leah, she gets pregnant again, and she has another son. Vatoma, and she said, Hapam odeh es Hashem. This time, I give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alkein karoshimo Yehuda. Right, Yehuda, some is like odeh, to give thanks, to feel thanksgiving. Vatam od miletes. And she had no more children. So, the first three sons that she had, right, the first three sons that she had, she said, maybe now my husband will treat me better. Each time. Right, she's kind of a tragic personality. She's doing something for her husband, but her husband doesn't really appreciate her because there's Rachel. Rachel is much more important to her. The fourth time she has a son, she makes this interesting comment. She says, Hapam odeh Hashem. Now, I'm going to thank God. What do you mean, now? Why is she thanking God now? I mean, what happened? Why did she thank God when she had her first son? Or when she had the second son? After all, the Pasuk itself says, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayar Hashem gishnu alei'o vayiftach es rachmo. In other words, this was not simply an act of nature, according to the Torah. There are things that you expect to happen, but it was something that was by design. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leah deserves a good thing, something good to happen to her. So she got pregnant, she had a son. Why didn't Leah thank God for having son number one? And why didn't Leah thank God for having son number two? Or son number three? So Rashi explained. Right, in a kind of a like something that's hard to understand, Rashi says in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Hapam odeh shenatalti yoteh michelki, me'ata yesh li lahodot. What does that mean? That the imahos, that Leah and Rachel, Bilhah and Zilpah, Leah and Rachel knew that Yaakov Avinu was going to have 12 children. Right, the 12 shvatim. So naturally they assumed that the 12 Shvatim would be divided equally between the four potential mothers, and that each one, therefore, would have three sons. Each one would have three sons. So when she had the fourth son, when Leah had the fourth son, she said, ah, now I know that I'm having more than I really deserve. It's a little hard to understand this point that Rashi is making, like, why you have to lahodot only on the fourth son, because it's more than you were, the plan or some kind of theoretical conception. But before we get to that, to explain that, I'd like to read a few more psukim. Vatera Rachel, Perek Lamed, Ki lo yoldo li Yaakov. So now, as a result of this relationship, Yaakov and Rachel have a good relationship. Yaakov and Leah, not so good. As a result of that relationship, there is now a new relationship. And that is Vatei Rachel ki lo yoldo li Yaakov v'tekanei Rachel b'achota. So it's a little hard to understand this pasuk. The pasuk says that Rachel was jealous of Leah, right? Rachel was jealous of Leah, but we know that Yaakov favored Rachel. So what was she jealous about? She was jealous about, I mean, after all, Yaakov loved her more than Yaakov loved Leah. Leah was having children, but it didn't change anything. So what was it that she was so unhappy about, right? Vatomer Yaakov hova livonim v'imayin meso anochi. Can you imagine somebody saying a thing like that? It says, Yaakov, bring me sons, whatever that means. We'll see in the portion in a minute. Bring me sons. V'imayin. V'imayin means, if you don't do it, meso anochi, then I'll die. You know, this is something that, like, this is like a typical conversation between mothers and sons. Right? You know, either you do what I say, or I'll die. Right? I mean, who says a thing like that? What does that mean? What does it mean, she'll die? Maybe he'll do something? What's he supposed to do? Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rochel. And Yaakov was angry at Rochel, vayomer, a wonderful comment, hatachas elokim anochi, asher monami mech pribote. He says, if you're not pregnant and you don't have children, it's not my fault. It's after all God's fault. God is preventing you from having children. So what is it you want from me? Vatomer, and she said finally, Hine amosi bilho bo eleho. Viseled al birkai. So she, Rachel, said to him after he got angry, take my maidservant Bilha, and maybe you'll have children with her, and ibanegam onochi mi mena, in the manner of Sarah, right? Sarah didn't have children, so she gave Hagar, her maidservant, to Avraham. In the same way, Rachel didn't have children, and she gave her maidservant Bilha to Yaakov, right? And she had a child, Vatahar Bilha Vatevar Yaakov Ben. You look in Pasuk Vav, just to finish this whole idea, Vatomer Rachel Donani Elokim, and his name was Dan. In other words, who named the son of Bilha? Rachel. Who named the son of Leah? Leah. Who named the son of Rachel ultimately? Rachel. Right, so Rachel is somehow the patron of Bilha. And even though Bilha had the child, Rachel gives that child a name. It's not so easy to know. I mean, the kind of two questions that I want to kind of reflect on. The first question has to do with the Hodoya, with the thanksgiving of Leah for having a fourth son, and why didn't she thank God for the other children that she had? And the second thing is that why did Rachel have to go through this distress of not having a child, then Bilha having a child, and finally having a child? I mean, what was the issue here? pose the issue. Now we know that the patterns, you know, are fairly obvious. Avram Avinu didn't have a son for a long time with his wife Sarah. Yitzchak and Rivka had difficulties. We spoke about that last week. Had difficulties in having children, and now Yaakov and Rachel have difficulties in having children. The difference is that Avram and Sarah, at the end of the day, had one son. Yitzchak and Rivka, at the end, had also only one son, even though twins were born to them, but one son went away and one son stayed in the ideological fold. Yaakov Avinu had 12 sons. Each of them became a tribe in Israel. So what was the point of Yaakov and Rachel having difficulty in conception and having a child? And what was the idea, what was the connection? What was the connection? Because all the children of all the wives of Yaakov were in. None of them ran away. They didn't leave the household like Ishmael left or was sent away, and Esav was sent away or left on his own. I mean, it's hard to understand. So let's go to the first question. First question is about Hodoya, right? Why did Leah thank God after the fourth son? So Rashi explained it, and what Rashi says is based on a Medrash. And the Medrash says as follows, Makar Od V'Peri Ben, Rav Barachia B'Shem Rav Levi said the following. It's like a priest, a Kohen, who goes down into the threshing floor. One person gives him kor shel maaser. Kor is a large amount of maaser grain. Right, he gives the Kohen as coming to him, right? He has to give him maaser. V'lo tova. But the Kohen didn't think anything of it. He didn't say thank you, he didn't say you're a good guy, he didn't relate to it at all. Another person gave him a komet shel chulin. Komet is this, is like, you know, what you put between your two fingers. He gave him a, what do you call it? Call it something. Anyway, a small amount of chulin, of grain, as a present. So you have a present, like somebody give you a little snuff. You know, that's what he gave you. Right? The Hesiglotova. And the Kohen said, oh, wow, what a great guy. So good of you, so nice of you to give me this present and this grain. Omarle, so the first guy said to him, the Kohen, I don't understand. I gave you like a whole bushel full of maaser. How come you didn't pay any attention to me? And the other guy, he just gave you like a finger's worth of grain, and you're fooling over yourself to thank him. So he said to him, the Kohen said to him, what do you mean? You, when you gave me maaser, you gave me my stuff. The maaser belongs to me, after all. Because you know the halacha of maaser, right? You have to give the maaser to a Kohen. Which Kohen do you have to give it to? Which Kohen? The Kohen of your choice. But after you give it to the Kohen of your choice, then it's as though that belonged to him all the time. Right? It's just that before you give it to him, you still have a choice. Kohen A, Kohen B, Kohen C. But after you give it to him, it's as though it belongs to him. It had always belonged to him. That was the Kohen. So he says, when you gave me the bushel of grain, you were giving me my stuff. It's mine. Why should I thank you? Why should I thank you for giving me my stuff? But the other guy, who just gave me a small amount of grain, he gave me his grain. Therefore, I'm thankful to him. Lefisha yu imaho sivuro shizo mamedesh shlosha vizo mamedesh shlosha. Since the Imahos all thought that each one would have three sons, that each one would have three sons, when Leah had a fourth son, that's when she said, "Hapam Odeh." Now I'm thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a story. There's a story behind the story according to the Medrash. And the story behind the story has to do with these words, Hapam Odeh Hashem. That's what the Medrash says. And what's the story behind the story? That she had a revelation. That Leah had a revelation. Because first she thought, what did she think? That she was kind of an irrelevancy. She was going to have three children, because that was the plan. That was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it. It wasn't because of her. It wasn't that she deserved some goodness, but she was going to function as one quarter of the mothers of the nation of Israel and have three children. So that the goodness, according to her, according to Leah, according to the pshat that she had, that she understood herself, that goodness accrued to Yaakov, and not to Leah. She was a vehicle. She was a vehicle of having children. But it wasn't that she brought him those children, as though she was somehow a shutefes, a partner. Because that's the way it was going to be. One woman would have children earlier, another woman would have children later, another mother. But they'd all have children. And when they says they'd all have children, it had nothing to do with her. There's no hodoya. There's no hodoya when there is no personal feeling of bracha. But when she had the fourth child, and she said, oh, this child, the fourth child, is not part of the plan. The fourth child is a change in plan, and therefore the change in plan is what I have to give thanks to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that if you look at the Pesukim again, it says, in Pesuk Lamed Aleph, Vayar Hashem Kisnu Aleya. Hashem saw that she was hated, and therefore he opened up her womb. He opened up her womb, right? But this bracha of opening her womb, when did it take place? Where was the bracha of opening the womb? On the fourth child. It doesn't mean, according to Leah herself, according to the Medrash, according to Leah, it doesn't mean that she felt exalted because of the fact that she was pregnant and had a child, because she herself says, my husband still doesn't like me, my husband still doesn't like me, my husband still doesn't like me, because I'm just the vehicle for the divine plan. There's nothing to do with me. But when she had the fourth child, then she knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking after her. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking after her. And so, that's Hapam Odeh Es Hashem, right? That's Hapam Odeh Es Hashem. And so now we understand why V'Ta'amod Miledes. It says V'Ta'amod Miledes. What does V'Ta'amod Miledes mean? V'Ta'amod Miledes means that she had three sons. That was the original plan. And V'Ta'amod Miledes means that now that she had a fourth son, that was for her. That was something that happened for her. But when she had that fourth son, it says, "Vatere Rochel kilo yoldol Yaakov." So now what happens? What is Rochel doing? How come Rochel waited until after the birth of Yehuda to get annoyed? Why was Rochel waiting? Because Rochel said, okay, she has one son. She has two sons. She has three sons. That's the arrangement. Each mother, each of the Imahos is going to have three sons. But when she had the fourth son, the Hapam Odes Hashem's son, so Rachel understood that even though they thought the plan was that each one would have three children, it was no longer certain. Certainly not. One had already had four children. She could have 10 children on her own. I mean, this whole idea that each of the Imahos would have three sons had been usurped. It's not just that she had four, and therefore you had to readjust a little bit. But if she had four sons, it's as though you said the deal is off. And so Rachel said, suddenly Rachel became aware of her barrenness. Because as long as she was living within the promise, she thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised that everybody would have three sons. Nicha. She wasn't worried. She didn't have children. She'll have children. Right? It's not... It's according to the plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be this way. It'll be this way. Rachel was not jealous. She wasn't jealous of Leah. Rachel had a superior position. But when their fourth child was born, everything that Rachel had thought up to then disappeared. It just wasn't true anymore. Because the division by threes had gone awry. So then she begins this interesting conversation. And she says, Hova li batekane Rachel bachosa. When did she get this jealousy? After the fourth son was born. Vatoma el Yaakov, and she finds Yaakov also a disagreeable person in this case. Hovali boni vim ayin mesa onochi. That's what she says to Yaakov. Now the Ramban, if you have a Ramban, take a look at the Ramban, Pasuk Aleph, the second part of the Ramban, al derech hapshat. Al derech hapshat. You know that the Ramban thought that there was pshat? That the words could also be understood. You know, you could understand the words as you read them. That's the Ramban. Right? The Ramban's Chiddush. You could understand the words without Chazal. Right? The Rashi also thought that this Pshat, but he thought that Pshat is always with Chazal, not without Chazal. So the Ramban says, Derech HaPshat, Rachel said to Yaakov, Shiitein Labonet. Rachel had a tiny. To Yaakov, she wanted sons. Uve'emes da'ato le'moshi ispalel olecha. In other words, Rachel is like deja vu. There's Rivka and there's Yitzchak. Rivka's davening and Yitzchak's davening. Who's davening better? Who brings home the bacon? Yitzchak. Why does Yitzchak bring home the bacon? Tzadik ben Tzadik. Rachel, certainly no more. Or no less a tzaddik ben Rosho than Rivka was a tzaddik ben Rosho, right? Right. Rachel is certainly in that category. So she says, Yaakov, it's now up to you. What do you mean, Shei Yispala? It's not any longer in the plan. The plan has been torn asunder. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I may not have any children at all. Uve emes dato le Moshe Yispala lo'el. Avo. She spalel olea, she tein habonim al kol ponim. She didn't want Yaakov to daven for her. She wanted Yaakov to daven non-stop until she had children. In other words, she wanted the davening to work. She didn't want, like, she wasn't looking for a chesed. She wasn't looking for a brocha from some, you know, brocha dispenser. She wasn't looking for that. She was looking for a result. She said, Yaakov, you can do it because you're the son of Yitzchak. Yitzchak did it. If you don't do this, she'll be so distressed that she will die. Dibra shaloka hogen bekin osa. And so the Ramban says, she was mistaken. She spoke poorly in this instance. Bechoshivoki biavoso so yisane Yaakov yobasak for Efer. And she must have thought, the Ramban said, that he would do real major league davening. Like, what's real major league davening? That he would wear a sackcloth, that he would sit on the ground, that he would fast, that he would demand that HaKadosh Baruch would do something. And here's an interesting situation, according to the Ramban. Rachel says, you can do it. If you want to do it, you can do it. If you want to be like Yitzchak, your father, a tzaddik ben tzaddik, you can do it. You can make sure that I will become pregnant. What does Yaakov say? According to the Ramban, Vayicha af Yaakov shein tfilas atzadikim biyodom shidishma v'tehenel kol ponim. Yaakov says, you're wrong. Even tzadikim cannot demand that their tfilos be fulfilled in any case, in any instance. Not even tzadikim can do that. Va'avu shedibro derech ga'agui anoshim ha'uvos lafchido b'misos ochor ha'akom. And because she used that language, the language that women use when they're very sad and very feel very oppressed, chora apel, he got very angry. He got very angry. Kach amar lo, she'eino b'mokoy melokim, she'yifkod ha'akoros al kopane. He's not in the place of God. God is the one who can remember those who are barren, the barren women, but not Yaakov. Ve'einenu choshesh badovor ki mimeno nimna priyabeten ve'lo mimenu. And now there is a story within the story, according to the Ramban. Because what did Yaakov say? Ashamona mimech priyabeten. Says, you, Rachel, say that I am Yitzchak. But Yaakov Yitzchak, say that you are not Rivka Sarah. Right? Because in this marriage between Rachel and Yaakov, who is the one who has no children? Rachel. But that's not true about Yaakov. Yaakov has children. You see that when Yishmael was born to Avram Avinu, it took a while. But Avram Avinu finally understood. What did he understand? That Yishmael is not his son. Yitzchak had two sons, but it took a while. He understood that Esau was not his son. So Yitzchak and Rivka had a son. Avram and Sarah had a son. Right? But Yaakov has sons. Right? Since the deal is off, three children for each of the Imahos, it doesn't matter anymore to Yaakov, right? So that's what the Ramban says in the name of Yaakov. She doesn't have children, but he does. And this is to make her feel badly. Right? The tzadekes, he calls her, the Rabban. This righteous woman, Rachel, when she saw that she couldn't depend on Yaakov, right? Shovel is palela al atzma, el shomea tzaoko, to the one who hears the cry, vehazeu vayishma eleha elokim. So that Rachel, right, which is a kind of a priest, a like a, always prophetic, as far as her purpose in life. Like Rachel was the one through this tragedy who reclaimed tefillah for herself, even though she was a tzaddik ben Rasha. Right? We don't hear that about Rivka, but we find that Rachel is understood by Chazal, like her purpose, her function, her great achievement is in tefillah. Right? The Navi says that Rachel's mevako al boneho, which means that the schus, that the merit of Rachel crying as the Jewish people leave Eretz Yisrael, right, crying al boneho, on the children who are not there and who are not returning, that is the ultimate tzchus and the great kavod that Rachel has. So we see that in this tragedy, there's a tragedy here, according to the Ramban, that Yaakov Avinu said, my job is to have 12 children. And it doesn't matter to me how the 12 children divide up, whether they come from this wife or that wife or the other wife. My job is to be the father of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael has 12 tribes. The 12 tribes have to be born. And if the plan has been changed in heaven, originally three children for each wife, but now there's been a change. We don't know how it's going to turn out. So Rachel comes and says that this is a tragic notion. You don't understand that I can't be one of the Imahos if I don't have children. Yaakov rejects her entreaties because he says, he feels that her position is not significant. The only significant event or the only significant matter is whether or not there will be 12 sons and 12 tribes, etc. That's Yaakov's worry. But because of that, according to the Ramban's interpretation before this, because of that dissonance between Yaakov and Rachel, Rachel has to reclaim tefillah. Rachel has to reclaim tefillah. Okay, she reclaims tefillah so great, so much, that she becomes the great davener, the one who is seen as being able to daven for all of her children. And she becomes the mother of all of the children of Yaakov Avinu, even though numerically she only has two children, right? She has two, and not three, and not four, right, like the other Imahos. But spiritually, Rachel Mevako al Boneho refers to all of the children of Yaakov. And so all of the children of Yaakov became the children of Rachel, because Rachel is the only one who left them a spiritual heritage. The children left the children a spiritual heritage. And that spiritual heritage was tefillah. And that's what the Ramban says, that this righteous woman, remember last week's parasha, Yitzchak is in one corner, Rivka's in another corner, they're both davening together about the same thing. And the Chiddush in Rashi is that Yitzchak's tefillahs work better than Rivka's tefillahs, right? He says, but here, Rachel can't get Yaakov to daven for her, because it's not his issue. It's not any longer his issue as it was with Yitzchak. And therefore, Shova l'ispalel al atzma. So Rachel comes and davens for herself. She davens for herself. El shomer tzaoko v'zeu v'yishma eleho Elokim. So you see also that there's a difference between Leah and Rachel. The difference between Leah and Rachel. Leah was the one who represented Hodoya. What is Hodoya? Hodoya is when you get something to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the elementary religious response. Elementary. Vayita Eshel Bever Shova. Avraham Avinu taught the people to say Birkat HaMazon. How did he teach them? He fed them. Gave them food, and then he said, you know where this comes from? It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's call out in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Hodoya. Leah represented Hodoya. Represented that the thanksgiving that you could feel that you want to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you get something that you didn't think you would get or deserve. And that was the fourth son that Leah received. But Rachel represents tefillah. Tefillah is about what might happen, about what you would like to happen. It's about being involved, being part of the process, about being able to be the mother of all the Jewish people. That's tefillah. And the way the Ramban explains it to us, the tefillah of Rachel was effective. It was effective for herself, it was effective for Klal Yisrael, and it remains with us, right? There's an echo of the tefillos of Rachel wherever the Jewish people went, into whatever exile or diaspora they find themselves. So there's this contrast, right? Finally, there are a lot of emotions here, right? There's jealousy, there's anger, there's this attempt to find favor in the eyes of Yaakov, there's the attempt Rachel has to explain to Yaakov why it's so important for her to have children. There are all these kinds of mixed emotions, but at the end we see, Leah is Hodoya, and Rachel is Tfila. And the godliness of Rachel is that after we learned in the parasha of Vayishlach, the parasha of Toldos, that Yitzchak was of course a better davener than Rivka, because Yitzchak was a tzaddik ben tzaddik, and Rivka was a tzaddik ben Rasha. Rachel is the story of a tzaddik ben Rasha who becomes the best davener of all times. Right? She davened to create a new reality. And through her davening, she became the mother of all the tribes of Israel. She was the one who injected in all Yaakov's children this kind of spiritual dimension which enabled them to daven and not just to give thanks. A good show. Thank you.